I've entitled the message for this morning, The Blind See, and the Seeing Made Blind. Verse 39 of John chapter 9, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world. And here's the judgment, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now, anytime Christ tells us his purpose for coming into the world, it ought to get our careful attention. And the Lord tells us why he came, for judgment. And he announces this twofold judgment, and this word judgment is the verdict, the sentence of the judge. And here is the sentence of the judge. Those which see are made blind, and those who are blind are given sight. And here's what he says with regard to those who are blind. They have no sin. Now, I want you to think about that. He didn't say their sin's forgiven, although it is. It says they have no sin. Well, that's attractive to me. I want to be one of those people, don't you? Somebody who before God has no sin. And he says to those people who claim to see, your sin remains. It's still there. Christ came into the world. The Creator came into his creation. The Word was made flesh. On numerous occasions, he tells us why he came. John 18:37, he said he came to bear witness to the truth. And the only way you and I will know the truth is if he himself bears witness to us of his truth. Won't know it without him. He said in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not walk in darkness. Now, he's the light. And if I don't have him as my light, I am in darkness. He said in Matthew 9:13, I came not to call the righteous. Now think of these scriptures. This is where he tells us why he came. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, if you're righteous, you cut your own throat. He didn't come from you. If you have any personal righteousness, you will not be saved. He came to call sinners to repentance, a complete change of mind. He said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been lost? Well, if you have, he came to save you. Somebody says, I've never been lost. Well, he didn't come for you then. He came to seek and save that which was lost. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, the world was already condemned. He came for the purpose of salvation. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world. There we have it again. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. of whom Paul said, I am the chief. Now, if that's not my favorite verse, it ought to be. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, in all of these verses, his reason for coming has something to do with salvation, doesn't it? But here, when he makes this statement, he says, I've come for judgment. Judgment. The decision or the verdict of the judge with regard to the one on trial. Now, God's not on trial. We are. Don't forget that. Every one of us have been guilty of judging God and disagreeing with God. God's not on trial. We are. And he says, for judgment, I'm coming to this world. Now, this word is also translated condemnation and damnation. For judgment, I've come into this world. And as usual, there are two people described with regard to this judgment. Those who see and those who are blind. These are the two people. Those who see and those who are blind. And regarding those who see, he says their sin remains. And regarding those who are blind, he says they have no sin. Now that's such a glorious, mysterious statement. He says regarding these people, they have no sin. I want to be one of those people, don't you? Somebody who before God has no sin. Now the Lord says, for judgment I'm coming to this world. And this is who Abraham referred to when he said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Now with regard to his judgment, he's always right. Men are born knowing that God is. Somebody says, I'm an atheist. Well, you haven't always been. You might have developed that way of thinking over time, but you were born knowing that God is, and that God will, as the judge of the earth, reward the righteous and punish the wicked. Everyone is born with that light. Everybody knows the difference between right and wrong. Everybody has God's law written in their heart. You know it's wrong to lie. You know it's wrong to steal. You know it's wrong to murder. You know it's wrong. You're born with that knowledge. Nobody can plead ignorance or make any excuse. When John saw the rider on the white horse that sat, he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for judgment I have come. I want to read a passage from Matthew chapter 25. You can turn there. If you want, verse 31, when the Son of Man, Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Me and you are in that group. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. The sheep and the goats are the blind and those who see. They're the believers and the unbelievers. They're the righteous and the wicked. They're the saved and the lost. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 41, then shall he say unto them on his left hand, the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. angels. Now the Lord says in our text in John chapter 9, for judgment, I have come into this world. Then he makes this twofold judgment. I've come to give sight to those who are blind. And I've come to blind those who think they see. Now, which group am I in? Which group are you in? There are only two. Those who are blind and those who say, we see. Which one are you? Now, who are these people who are described as those who see not? Look back in our text, verse 39, John chapter 9. For judgment I'm come into this world that they would see not, might see. Who are these people who see not? These are the people who cannot see one reason in themselves as to why God would favor them. Let me repeat that. These are the people who cannot see, they cannot find in themselves one reason why God would ever look in favor toward them. I wonder if anyone listening feels that way about themselves. Why would he ever save me? What would ever give him a reason to save me? When people first hear the gospel, their first objection is, well, that's not fair. That's the first. If you've ever not made that objection, it's because you've never heard the gospel. The initial response of everybody when they first hear the gospel is, that's not fair. Now, when I make that objection, that's not fair, that means I'm sitting in judgment on God. I'm giving him my take on things. This is not fair. I don't like the way you are doing things. Now, why do people make that objection? I hope you'll listen to me very carefully, or listen to the Word of God very carefully. That's not fair. According to the Scriptures, men, you and me, are born into this world evil. That's strong language. Evil. The wicked, the Scripture says, are estranged from the womb. They go about, as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And this evil that we're born with is a result of our first father's fall. By one man, sin entered the world. That's talking about the fall of Adam. By this one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, me and you, in that all have sinned. When Adam sinned, I sinned. Somebody says, well, that's not fair that I should be held responsible for something somebody else did. When he did it, you did it. You were united to him. You were in him so that when he committed that sin, you personally committed that sin. And now you are, I am, born into this world evil, wicked, without one drop of personal righteousness. God saw, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That means your wickedness, personally, your wickedness is great before God. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil nonstop, continually, all the time. Now, how can somebody like that be saved? I'm glad you asked. According to the scriptures, God, before time began, before creation, chose or elected a great number of people to be saved. It's called in Romans 11:5 the election of grace. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, before time began, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, that's what that means is, although everybody deserves to be damned and everybody's wicked, God's going to save a people. He elected a people before time began. He didn't elect everybody. That's just the facts. He didn't elect everybody. But he did elect a great number of people before time began to be saved. Somebody says, that's not fair. Wait a minute. Fair is you going to hell. Fair is me going to hell. Thank God that he did elect a people to salvation. Nobody'd be saved if he didn't. This is good news. There's nothing bad about this. God sovereignly chose who he would save. Amen. Now, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, these people were given to him before time began. And he took full responsibility for their salvation. Matthew 1:21, the opening chapter of the Bible, it said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why Christ came. He came to save his people from their sin. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep, not for the goats. For the sheep. Now, why make an issue of this, that Christ didn't die for everybody, but he only died for the elect? Why make an issue of this? Well, let me give you two reasons. Number one, because of what the Bible teaches. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, and the only issue is what does the Bible teach? And here's the second reason we make an issue of it, is because the only hope a sinner has is that Christ died for him. That's it. The only hope I have of being saved is that Jesus Christ died for me. Those God elected, those that Christ died for, in time God the Holy Spirit comes to invincibly and irresistibly give them life. Remember, I said we were wicked, dead in sins. If you're dead in sins, you're unable to believe, you're unable to repent, you're unable to love God, you're dead. But God the Holy Spirit comes to those that God the Father elected and those that Christ redeemed, and he gives them life. Life from the dead so that they believe, so that they repent. And because of what God has done for them, they persevere all the way to their dying breath. They do not depart looking to Christ alone. Now you may be listening to this and say, how can that be fair for God to do something for one that he doesn't do for the other? I mean, if he could have saved everybody, why didn't he save everybody? This doesn't seem to be fair. This doesn't seem to be right. Now, let me remind you what I said at the opening of this message. God's not on trial. For you and I to say, well, that's not fair, you can't judge God. Whatever he does is right. I'm the problem, not him. That's our reaction initially. It's called being God's judge, being God's critic. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's right. That's not fair. I'm not on board with this. That is the initial reaction of everyone who hears the gospel. But let me tell you when a man will change his tune with regard to that. When God teaches that man through hearing the gospel and the true character of God that he is a sinner. When God gives you life, for the first time you understand that you are a sinner. You don't believe you're a sinner, not in the scriptural sense of the term, until God teaches you who you are. Now, when he teaches you that you're a sinner, here's what you think. If I did it, it's sin. Whatever action it is, whatever motive it is, if I did it, it is sin. All I do, all I am, all I can be is sin. I cannot not sin. I'm a sinner by nature. I was born that way. I came out of my mother's womb speaking lies. I'm a sinner by birth. I'm a sinner by choice. I choose to be the way I am. I can't blame God. I can't blame His sovereignty. I'm a sinner by choice. I'm a sinner by practice. And because of my sinfulness, I can't sit in judgment on anybody. I don't care what they've done or how bad it is. I can't look at them and say, I would not have done that. I can't judge anybody. And if God passes me by and sends me to hell, I'm getting exactly what I deserve. I cannot see one reason why God would ever look in favor or mercy upon me. I have no claims on God. I can't say with regard to myself, it's unfair for God to pass me by and not save me. I can't see one reason in myself why I would. Now that's the person that's blind. They cannot see in themselves one reason as to why God would look in favor on them. Would that be you? He doesn't argue with God's fairness. He's like those people we read of in Romans 3, where Paul says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. No more. This is not fair. This is not right. How could God do this? No more of that. All the world stands guilty before God. You can't see one reason in yourself as to why God would look in favor on you. Now, these people who are blind are made to see that salvation is for Christ's sake. What's that mean? That means He'll have mercy on you and He'll have favor toward you altogether because of what Christ did. It has nothing to do with what you've done. Salvation for Christ's sake. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Not for your sake. Not because of anything you've done. Wholly for Christ's sake. He elected you for Christ's sake. He redeemed you for Christ's sake. He regenerated you for Christ's sake. He preserves you for Christ's sake. There's only one reason God would look in favor your way, for Christ's sake. Can you say amen to that? You believe that? That person who cannot see, they're given sight. They're made to see salvation for Christ's sake. And then he says in verse 39 of our text, John 9:39, and Jesus said, for judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see not might see. You're made to see that salvation comes to you for Christ's sake, and that they which see might be made blind. Now this is his second judgment. This is his verdict. If you say, I can see why God could save me. I'm not that bad. I'm better than others. I may not be perfect, but I'm at least better than so-and-so. I can see why he'd save me. If you can say, I can see why he'd save me because if that's in it, I can see why he'd save me because I've believed, I've repented, I've changed, I've done this, I've done that, I've stopped doing this, I've stopped doing that. I can see why God saved me because you've been blinded. You've been blinded. God blinded you as an act of his justice for your sin. That's the person he blinds, the person who says, I can see why God would save me. The light has gone off so that you can't see that you're blind. Verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words. And I can feel the smart aleck sarcasm dripping from their language. They said, are we blind also? You're talking about being made blind and seeing, are we blind also? You talking about us? Verse 41. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. And do you hear that? If you're someone who can't see why God would ever look in favor on you, guess what? You have no sin. He doesn't simply say. Now, this is what he says. I wouldn't dare say something like this had not he said it. But with regard to every believer, with regard to everybody who looks to Christ alone, that's what a believer is. He looks only to Christ as everything in his acceptance before God. I don't look to myself. I don't look to my works. I don't look to my past experience. I don't look to the future with regard to what I'm going to do. The only hope I have is what he did for me. Here's my hope. When he had by himself purged our sins, that means no contribution from me. He did it by himself with no help from me. That person who is blind and can't see why God would save them, he saves you for Christ's sake, and you have no sin. When you stand before God in judgment, well, that sin was forgiven. That was sin was forgiven. That's not the way it is. You stand before God as one who has never sinned, ever. Not in thought, word, deed, or motive. How can that be? Because Christ made my sin not to be. He purged it. He put it away. He took it away. It's not existent. It's been expunged from the universe. It's no more. That person who can't see, here's the promise. You'd have no sin. But, verse 41, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. I can see why God would save me. I did this. I experienced that. your sin remains. That means when you stand before God in judgment, you're going to stand before God in all your sin. And that's something you don't want. That's something I do not want. God, listen to me real carefully, every one of you. God commands you to trust His Son as your everything in salvation. He commands you to. Well, what if I'm not elect? He commands you to. Remember, you don't come to Christ because you're elect. You come to Christ because you don't have anywhere else to go. And you're so sinful that if God gives you what you deserve, you'll go to hell. That's why you come to Christ. Now, somebody says, I'm not like that. Well, don't come then. But if you're like that, you will come. And God commands you to. God commands you to trust His Son alone. And in trusting His Son alone, and that's what faith is, it's trusting His Son only to save me. That's what faith is. And if you trust His Son to save you, you have no sin. None at all. And if you do not trust Him, your sin remaineth. May God give every one of us the grace to trust Him alone. In trusting Him, we have no sin. Let's pray. Lord, in Christ's name, we ask that You would take Your word and apply it to the heart of each person here. And Lord, let us be of that number who can see in ourselves no reason as to why You would have favor on us. Lord, deliver us from our self-righteousness. Deliver us from our pride. Deliver us from trusting ourselves. Strip us of all goodness and righteousness that we think we possess, and cause us to rest in what Your Son has done only to make us sinless. And deliver us from thinking we're in any way deserving of Your salvation. Bless this word for Christ's sake. In His name we pray.